This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
I can't believe I'm saying this. This episode is brought to you by Lola V, an award-winning hair care line by the one and only Jennifer Aniston. Why did Jennifer Aniston start a hair care company? Because she was tired of choosing between hair products that work and hair products that are actually good for us. But thanks to Lola V, we never have to choose again. No silicones, no sulfates, parabens, or gluten. And of course, it's cruelty-free and vegan. The Glossing Detangler and Perfect Conditioner are my personal favorites. Not only do they repair the look of damaged hair, but they also shield it from future harm. The first step to unlocking confidence in your dating life and your daily life is feeling confident about your hair. So unlock Jennifer Aniston approved hair at LolaV.com. And as listeners of Seeing Other People, you're getting an exclusive 15% off of your entire order when you use code Seeing Other People at checkout. That's 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com with promo code Seeing Other People. Please note you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined. After your purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please, please, please support Seeing Other People and let them know that I sent you.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
Hey guys, it's Alana, and welcome back to another episode of Seeing Other People. Together, we're navigating modern dating alongside experts and real-life daters who are sharing their stories. Don't have a date for tonight? No problem. Come learn, laugh, and maybe even cry along with us as we navigate the dating scene together. Hey guys, it's Alana, and welcome back for another episode of Seeing Other People. I'm so excited. I've been looking forward to this episode for so long. I am here on the couch with Carly, the host of Mostly Balanced. Carly, welcome back to Seeing Other People.
I'm so excited to be back, and this time I'm back by myself, which is crazy.
You're back by yourself. You're hosting Mostly Balanced now by yourself. Mm-hmm. How is that going?
It's really good. So For some background, I used to host a podcast, Mostly Balanced. I still host that podcast, but now I host it by myself rather than with my best friend, which she used to co-host with me. And full disclosure, the first time, like when this came to be and she decided to leave the podcast on great terms, we're still best friends. The first thing I did was text Alana because she went through something similar. And I was like, I need advice for solo podcasting. Mm-hmm. And that was so, so helpful. But one of the things you said was like, yeah, it's going to be hard, but it's amazing. Like solo podcasting is the best. You have so much freedom. You can control your own schedule. There's just like so many positives of it. And it's been great. I love it. It's amazing.
When you said that, I was like, I'm so happy for her. Yeah. Not like you and Mia were amazing together and it could have been her going off solo or you going, it doesn't matter. It's just like, it's so empowering being able to do it on your own time. If you have any ideas, you just do them. You don't have to run it by anyone else. And listen, like I still co-host Life in Progress. So like, I'm not anti-co-host at all, but it was such an empowering thing. Me going from co-hosting, Seeing Other People to having it be my own baby.
Yeah.
It was terrifying, but it was so rewarding.
Yeah. No, I love it. It's been great. And so, yeah, so my podcast is called Mostly Balanced. I also run an Instagram account called Mostly Balanced Podcast. And both of them were shared with my former co-host, Mia. And now it's been, I guess, almost three months, not even, that I've been doing it on my own. And it's great. The community has grown so much and I love it. And it's just opened up a lot of new opportunities, which is really fun.
That's amazing. Can I read you something hilarious?
Yes.
That came to my attention yesterday. I have Google Alerts on for Alana Dunn and for Seeing Other People, because if anyone ever writes about me, I want to see them, of course. Yeah. So I get an email yesterday that this publication called The Hear Up wrote an article called The Top 9 Life-Changing Podcasts You Need to Listen to Right Now. I'm like, wow, like that sounds awesome. That's so – if I'm on that list, which I must be because I'm getting the Google alert, that's so cool. So I scroll and I find it. Number 8. Seeing Other People with Alana Dunn and Jonah Feingold.
Oh, my God.
Navigating the world of dating and relationships can be daunting, but not with Seeing Other People. Hosted by comedian Alana Dunn.
Comedian.
Thinker Jonah Feingold. This podcast offers humorous yet insightful discussions on love, sex, and modern dating culture.
What?
I learned 3 things about myself from this article. First of all, apparently I co-host this podcast with Jonah Feingold in 2024. Second of all, I'm a comedian.
You're a comedian.
Love that for me. Third of all, I talk about sex on this podcast.
Yeah.
Which I very much do not do.
Yeah, that is so funny.
I saw that and I was just like, what world am I in right now?
That
like,
is so weird.
What is going on? Someone did not do their research, but I'll take it. Yeah. Like, great headline. Yeah. Thank you.
That's amazing. That's so funny.
So getting into a little bit of your podcasting journey, I want to call out you're now in a relationship.
Yes.
Not now. It's not new. You've been in this relationship for like a little over a year now.
Yes. Yes.
Amazing. How is that going?
It's great. Yeah. So it was a year in January. So it's actually kind of crazy. And on my podcast, I talk a lot about manifesting and I'm not like a woo-woo type of person, but I have had a lot of guests on the podcast to talk about manifesting and astrology and things like that. And I do some of those things. And I feel like I was really deep in that at the end of 2022. Yeah, it was an interesting time because I felt like I had done so much like self-work and I had so many guests on the podcast, learned so much about dating. And I was just in such a different mindset about it. And I remember I texted Mia in December and I was like, I'm going to have a boyfriend in 2023. I just like as if I decided. And for some background, like I had been single the entire time we did the podcast. So we launched the podcast in 2020 and I had been single for like most of my 20s. And I say single because I was in like situationships and I had relationships, but none of them were like good quality, mm-hmm. serious relationships. And then starting probably in 2020 around COVID is when I just then didn't have any, like I wasn't dating at all during COVID. Once things opened up, similar to you, I started going out on like outdoor freezing cold dates and doing some COVID dating, but I really was focusing more on just like learning what I wanted. I always have been kind of an avoidant dater. And so I kind of avoid commitment and just, and even if I'm not aware of it, I seek out situations that I know won't lead to a relationship. That's an issue that I've always had. But in the end of 2022, I was feeling so good. I was feeling like, wow, I really actually know that I want a relationship right now. So I did the classic, like write down a list of everything you want in a relationship. And I had made those lists before, but I made it so differently. I wrote down a whole list of like how I want it to feel in a relationship and what I wanted that relationship to look like. Like, what do we do together? What qualities does this person have? Like, and then I got it all down on paper and then I read back the qualities of this person, what I wanted them to be like what I wanted them to bring to a relationship. And then I kind of went like line by line, and this is like one of my favorite manifestation tricks. I went line by line and I looked at it and I was like, do I have this? Like, I looked at all the qualities I want them to have, and then I checked if I had them. And it's like, I want them to have an amazing friend group where they like hang out with their friends all the time and are so social. And I'm like, I don't do that. Like, I don't even have a friend group. I have close friends, but I don't go out all the time. Like, why do I think I want that? And then I'm like, no, I don't want that. And then I went through and like really trimmed it down to the things I knew I wanted. And then I started to just like do those things. So I wanted somebody who I could travel with. So I like planned some solo trips and I started solo traveling. I wanted somebody who I would go out on dates with. So I started like going out to dinner on my own or going out to dinner with friends more and just like living that life that I knew I wanted to live like with somebody, but on my own. And then long story short, like January hit, like I went on my first date with my now boyfriend on January 2nd, 2023. So it was like, and I have been doing that like work, as I call it, for a long time and really being intentional about dating. And like I said, learning a lot on the podcast about dating. But it really was in December that I decided like, okay, I'm going to date a little bit differently and I'm going to make this happen. And then we went on a date right in the beginning of January and now we're still together.
I thank you for sharing that. That is so awesome. And I feel like just even hearing that, like I'm hopeful.
Yeah.
like I feel like that people always ask like, this word intentional gets thrown around, or intentional dating mm-hmm. gets thrown around so much. And people are like, what does that mean? What does that look like? That is the epitome yeah. of what it looks like. It's figuring out what you want in a partnership, not mm-hmm. just in a partner.
Yeah.
Not holding someone else to standards that are maybe a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
Checking in with yourself on where you're at and then going and living that.
Mm-hmm.
That is so intentional. That is creating the life that you want for your future self in a partnership, but also you want that for your future self anyway.
Yeah. yeah, it's been different than what I expected, but it's been so much better. And so I think that that really speaks to just being a little bit more open to things that like might not look or feel like you expected them to.
Yeah. I love hearing stories from people who say like they thought they knew exactly what their partner would look like. And then they tried dating outside their type and found a completely different type of person doing a completely different career in a completely different place, like, and that was the right person for them. And I think that's really good advice for anyone who feels like they're stuck dating the same type of person over and over, or the people they're dating, it's not going anywhere with them, or they're not finding. I had a listener question actually pulled up to talk about, which was like this woman who said she can't find any mutual attraction. It's like, okay, well, think about the people that you're going on dates with. Maybe try going on dates with a different type of person.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, it's like, it's not like my boyfriend wasn't different from like what I thought he would look like. It's more like just the relationship felt different than what I was used to. And that's actually like a good thing. Like that was a green flag because none of those relationships worked out and this one did. And so I had to like push through some things in the beginning. So I was like, this feels weird. Like I almost wanted there to be a little bit of like conflict or something to be like some like obstacle we had to overcome. Whereas it was like he, and we talked about this when you came on my podcast, but he was like telling me how he felt and what he wanted, and it felt weird, and I felt like completely normal and open, like completely fine just saying how I felt and like voicing what I wanted. It was like such a strange, different feeling than other relationships that I've been in that almost made me think like kind of like waiting for the other shoe to drop kind of thing. And I also had had my independence for so long, so I had this like extreme fear of losing that in a relationship, which like I haven't, which is amazing. He's independent also, and it's like I talk about that a lot as well. So there were definitely obstacles in the beginning that I had to like overcome myself, but in terms of the dating stage and getting into the relationship, it happened like pretty seamlessly because we both were just like relaxed and open and communicative.
You guys know that I struggle with confidence. I'm always my biggest critic, and when I notice something about myself that I don't like, I can't stop fixating on it. I'm working on all of this, but it can be hard. A year ago, I noticed that my hair was thinning, and I was finding more and more strands of hair on the floor every time I would walk around my apartment. When I would look down in the shower, I would freak out at what I saw in the drain. That's when I opened up to my best friend, who happens to be a doctor, and she said two things that changed my life. The first was that she knows so many women our age going through the same thing. The second is that she told me to try Nutrafol. And so I did. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. A year later and a month before my wedding, and I cannot believe the number of people who have been complimenting how long, strong, and healthy my hair looks. I never imagined that this would happen. And naturally, as a result, my confidence has transformed. I'm no longer self-conscious when it comes to my hair. And honestly, that is a huge, huge, huge personal win for me. And you guys know I'm hilariously bad at sticking with habits and taking something every day or doing something every day. But with Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. You purchase online with no prescription required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure that you'll never miss a day. You'll see results in 3 to 6 months, and trust me, it is worth the wait. You can start so easily by taking their hair wellness quiz on Nutrafol.com for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering the Seeing Other People family $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code Seeing Other People. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code Seeing Other People. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code Seeing Other People. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. When I first started Seeing Other People, some of my closest friends and family could not believe it. Not because they didn't think I was capable of being a podcast host, but because I usually can't get through a sentence without sniffling. And during allergy season, forget about it. My seasonal allergies are debilitating, and my sinus congestion and pressure has always left me feeling so sick. But luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Claritin D has truly transformed my life. Not only can I breathe better and sleep better since taking Claritin D, but I also can get through the day so much smoother. I used to have to cancel plans because of how bad my allergies were. I'd go through a tissue box a week, sometimes more, and my eyes were always watery. But Claritin D's fast symptom relief starts working on allergies with nasal congestion in as little as 30 minutes, and it tackles nasal congestion caused by allergies or a cold, and also relieves sinus congestion and pressure due to allergies. It's truly the greatest thing I've ever come across, and I am so grateful that I found it and started using it. Are you ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. I want to talk about that, like, fear of losing your independence, because I get asked about that a lot. And I actually had an unfiltered episode about that, and it was like one of my most listened to episodes ever. So it's clearly something that a lot of people can relate to. How did you, with this, like, being this independent person, with this, you know, like, you were going on solo trips and doing all these things, how did that collide with also wanting a partner? Like, what, and I know you mentioned you were avoidant too, like, what do you think turned or switched for you from being avoidant and being independent to being like, okay, maybe I'm a little avoidant, maybe I'm really used to being independent, but I also do want to share my life with somebody?
Yeah, it was difficult, but it was interesting because, like you said, I had started going on more solo trips and doing all these things on my own. And that was really good. Like, that did lead me to finding somebody, I think, because I was just like living that life that I loved. And it was like I was ready to welcome someone into it. But then immediately when I saw things starting to get serious, I was like, oh, my God, what if I can't solo travel? And like, what about all my alone time? Like, I love alone time and all of those things. So I did have that struggle. But I think that, like, if you're aware of that and you're aware of the things that you need and the things that you love and the things that, like, make you you, you just have to be – you have to be intentional, like that word again, about making sure that you hold on to that, but also open to welcoming someone else into that. So I kind of was nervous, like, oh, I'm going to need, like, at least this many weeks alone by myself. Otherwise, I'm not going to feel like my best self. And then I'm like, no, actually, like, sometimes you can feel like if it's the right person, like, I can get alone time, like, with him, which, like, sounds weird, but, like, we could be on the couch and I could be reading and he could be working, and that's, like, me getting my alone time. But also, if I feel like I need time by myself, then I can go out for a walk, like, if, or I can go back, right now we're not living together, so I can go back to my apartment and have a night at my apartment, whatever it is. Like, I think just, like, knowing yourself well enough to, like, not get it to the point where you're feeling, like, kind of, like, on edge because you're not getting that is, like, so, so key. And I've gotten to that point before where then I can feel myself getting, like, irritable and I'm like, oh, I'm not doing all of my, like, self-care things, or I haven't had, like, a night out with my friends in a while. Like, I think because, like, if you, like, love being around someone so much, it can kind of, like, just get comfortable. But it's encouraging each other to, like, maintain that independence and encouraging each other to do the things that you love, and, like, having interests outside of that person, I think, is so important.
The most important thing you can possibly do in order to, like, build a healthy relationship.
Yeah, definitely.
Have you still gone on solo trips?
I'm trying to think if I've been on a solo trip. I have one coming up, but I've been on trips with my friends. So I haven't been on any by myself. I think I did go on one, like, after we had been dating for, like, 2 months, so really early on, but that was, like, a year ago. And that was funny because he's not, like, a solo traveler, so he thought it was, like, a little bit strange. Like, he by no means was he against it. He was just kind of like, wait, why do you want to go by yourself? Like, it was just, he was very supportive of it, and, like, if I wanted to go on a trip tomorrow, he would be. But, like I said, now, like, I do like traveling with him, so most of the time if I wanted to go on a trip, I would want it to be with him.
Right.
So, like, I think I found other ways to get, like, my alone time and keep my independence. I think it's so possible. So I would try not to worry about that. With the right person, it's possible.
Exactly. With the right person, you, and knowing who you are and what you want, like, they're going to want to support those things.
Yeah.
And I think you mentioned something really important, like, if you, like, your self-care routine, like, and going out with your friends and going for walks, like, you have to know yourself so well so that you continue to do the things that you need. Like, don't give up your self-care.
Yeah.
You know, people try so hard. Like, they want to impress somebody. They don't want to see that their new partner to see them with whatever skincare, acne medication on at night. Like, no, that's human.
Yeah.
Like, we all have pimples. And
you need to take care of yourself. And if they don't like you because you put pimple medicine on at night, like, who are they?
Yeah. And it's also like, it's also important to realize that everybody needs different amounts of those types of things. Like, some people don't really like, I recharge with alone time. Not everybody does. Some people recharge by being around other people and by doing certain things. So sometimes it's just a conversation you have to have with the person that you're dating and explaining that to them. Like, oh, it's not that I don't want to be around you. It's just that I, like, this is what makes me feel good and I'm kind of not feeling like my best self. So I want to make sure I'm keeping up with these things. But yeah, I'm all about alone time together, keeping up that self-care, even if you're with the person. Like, just don't. You don't have to separate the two things. It could all happen together.
Exactly. And it's just about communicating.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a friend who, when she and her partner, they're married now, but when they moved in together, she texted me and a few other friends frantically being like, guys, like, I don't really know how this works. Like, he's watching a show on the couch in the living room. Like, I don't really want to watch his show. Like, I want to go watch Bravo. Like, is it weird if I go in the bedroom and watch Bravo on my own? It's like, there are so many transitions when you start dating somebody or you go through this new stage. Like, you have to figure out. But the important thing is that you do what you need.
Yeah.
You take what you need.
Yeah. I call those my alone shows. I think that, like, I have to have time to watch my shows that I watch by myself. And then we have our shows we watch together.
Completely. We have a lot of shows and Jake shows and us shows. And sometimes a show will start as an us show and one of us will lose interest and it turns into an Alana show or a Jake show. And that's okay. That's totally okay. Yeah. It's all for the good of the group. So you mentioned that, like, you've had different manifestation experts on the podcast and things like that. I'm curious how much of, like, you getting to where you are, where you were, like, a little over a year ago with, like, wanting and being ready for a relationship relates to what you've learned and the conversations you've had from doing Mostly Balanced.
So much of it. I can even feel it in, like, every conversation I have with my partner. It's like, I can tell that I'm by no means am I like an expert communicator, but I'm so much better than I was before. And I'm also so much more like equipped to deal with obstacles that happen in a relationship. Whereas before, like, I had a tendency to, if there was conflict, I would kind of just like shut down and be like, I don't want to talk about this and I want to leave. Like, that's kind of like how I was, because I don't know if it ties back to being more avoidant, but it was just like, I didn't feel like I had the tools to do those things. Like, I always joke, like, if you want to get a good relationship, like, start a dating podcast because you'll learn so much, or you could just listen to them. But I do think so much of why I'm in a more successful relationship now is because of the conversations I've had on the podcast. And that's like, that's both with experts and also just with everyday people who are out there dating. I think you just learn so much from other people's experiences and from your own experiences. So I think that some people end up meeting the person they're going to marry when they're 19 years old, and then they marry the first serious partner that they ever had. And that's great if that works out for them. But I think that there are so many positives to dating when you're a little bit older. Like, I met my boyfriend when I was 33. I'm 34 now. And at that point, I would get a little frustrated sometimes because so many of my friends were married or engaged or in serious relationships and I wasn't. And even if I didn't like always wish that I had somebody with me, a lot of times I loved being single, I would still have those moments of being frustrated. But there were so many things that were great about dating in your 30s. Like, you know who you are. You feel so much more confident and secure in who you are. You have a better idea of what you want. Like, you've learned from your experiences and everything like that. So I think that it actually can be an enjoyable experience. And I think some people just get so caught up in the timeline or like the fear they'll never meet somebody that they don't look at the positives of like, wow, like this actually is like, imagine if I was on it, like you kind of just put up with less.
Yeah. I don't want to say the wrong thing since I'm 29 and about to get married, but from the conversations I've had, and everyone who I talk to who meets their partner in their 30s is so glad that they did. They're so glad they didn't meet them in their 20s. They think it never would have worked and all that. But I almost can imagine that like people are so afraid to get to 30. But then once they cross 30, they're like, okay, screw it. Like the clock already tick, 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 boomed. And now I can actually just like sit back and relax and enjoy and be me and embrace whatever's coming my way or not coming my way.
100%. When I turned 30, I was just getting out of a situationship. I just felt like it was like, oh, am I ever going to meet somebody? And like, I hadn't had a serious relationship in a long time. And I think that then that's why it also did feel so weird when I got into this relationship, because I was like, oh, wow, like, this feels different. And a lot of it had to do with the person and the fact that it was a good match, but a lot of it had to do with me and how I was like a different person who had learned a lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. Are there any big lessons that you think you learned from doing the podcast that, like, really changed you?
That's a great question. I think one of the lessons that I learned is kind of like what we've touched on. So I've learned that you shouldn't tie yourself to anybody else's timeline or anybody else's dating rules or anybody else's like idea of what a relationship needs to have. I think that I listened to some dating podcasts before I started my own, and some of them did like have a very strict set of rules or just like kind of more of an idea of what you should do when you're dating or the things that you like, red flags. I talk about all those things too, but I think that just from speaking to so many different people, different therapists, different experts, different people that are out there dating, I learned that like there are so many different perspectives on dating, and you just have to take those things that work for you. So you have to put everybody else out of your mind, and you can take away so many good things from these dating podcasts and learn a lot, or like books that you read and things like that. But you can't attach yourself to them so much. You have to be kind of open to knowing yourself really well, and that's the thing that's going to make you successful in dating and successful in a relationship is really knowing yourself and then like holding yourself to your own standards.
Brave the uncomfortable. Those are the words engraved on my bracelet that have gotten me through some of the most anxiety-inducing moments over the last few years. And that's why I could not be more excited to encourage you all to get a Presently bracelet of your own with a phrase that resonates with you. Presently is a line of mindfulness bracelets engraved with words inspired by cognitive behavioral therapy. The brand was started by two sisters, Lindsay and Emily, who have obsessive compulsive disorder, aka OCD, and anxiety. They realized that when stuck in an anxiety spiral, it's hard to put into practice the tools that they learned in therapy sessions. They looked and looked for bracelets that could serve as reminders to interrupt that spiral, but they couldn't find anything besides the cheesy good vibes only and no bad days types of messaging. They started Presently to bring more authenticity to self-help anxiety management. And as someone who has had a Presently bracelet for 3 years, I mean it when I say it really makes a difference. So whether you need encouragement to make it onto that date that you've been anxious about, a calming mantra to get you through a big day at work, or simply a reminder that you're not alone, Presently has your back. Their bracelets are so beautiful and elevated, and they also make amazing gifts. And I know because I have gifted a few over the years, and my friends were so excited to get one and have worn them ever since. There are 6 phrases to choose from. And if you're indecisive, there's a quiz that you can take to help you choose the perfect reminder for your anxiety. Plus, 5% of each bracelet is donated to your choice of 4 mental health nonprofits. I wholeheartedly love and support Presently, and I know that your Presently bracelet will bring you as much comfort as mine has brought me. So head to presentlybracelets.com. That's PRESENTLY bracelets.com for 10% off your order using code SEEINGOTHERPEOPLE. Raise your hand if you have dating anxiety. All right. I know that everyone has their hands up, and I get it. I had debilitating anxiety when I was single. And even when I first started dating Jake, I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I know that is not a good way to feel, and that is not a fun way to date. And I get it. It can be hard to find an anxiety relief tactic that works for you. That's why I'm so excited to introduce you to a new one that has helped me dramatically with my wedding and work stress and anxiety over the last few months. And trust me, there's been a lot of it. Sunset Lake CBD is an amazing company that not only has helped me feel so much better, but they also have a really cool history and mission. Sunset Lake CBD is a majority employee-owned hemp farm located right outside of Burlington, Vermont. As farmers, they believe in providing only top shelf CBD and hemp products at fair prices. So they cut out the middlemen and they ship their CBD straight from their farm to your door, which means that their CBD is affordable and trusted because CBD and anxiety relief can help everyone, and they want it to be accessible to anyone. Trust me when I say that when I'm stressed or anxious, my sleep is the first thing to go. But despite everything I have going on right now, I've been taking a sleep gummy before bed, and my sleep scores on my Oura Ring have been through the roof. Plus, I'm finding myself relaxing more at night and being able to turn off my work brain and my anxiety with the help of their CBD gummy bears and reishi infused chews. Whether you want to sleep better, relax better, focus better, recover better, or anything in between, Sunset Lake CBD has something for everyone. So check them out today at sunsetlakecbd.com and use code SOP for 20% off your order. That's code SOP for 20% off. Farmer owned, Vermont grown, Sunset Lake CBD.
You guys are in for a treat because support for today's episode comes from the best of the best, Jenni Kayn. And yes, there is a discount, so keep on listening. You know that feeling when you get a new sweater and it instantly becomes basically another layer of your skin? Like you wear it everywhere, for everything, all the time. Okay, well, Jenni Kayn has become my literal uniform. And if you don't know Jenni Kayn, I'm pretty much about to change your life because Jenni Kayn's clothes did that to mine. Jenni Kayn is a California brand with luxurious staples that will transform your closet. Think minimalist and effortless, but totally refined. They have the coziest cashmere sweaters and iconic accessories that will elevate your everyday basics. I don't know if I wear my cashmere fisherman hoodie or my cropped cashmere cocoon cardigan more. All I know is that I cannot live without either of them. Whether it's a cozy night in with the girls, a dinner date with Jake, or catching a flight to Florida to see my parents, these sweaters are perfect for every single occasion, and I couldn't be happier when I'm wearing them because I'm so comfy. And you guys know me, I always choose comfort over how something looks, but with Jenni Kayn, I don't have to choose because I get comfort and I get style. All right, so we have the discount code coming for you. Find your new uniform at JenniKayn.com. Seeing Other People listeners get 15% off their first order when you use code SOP at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at JenniKayn.com, promo code SOP, S-O-P. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about.
Yeah, like you have to, I think people have to take dating advice less seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really hot take from like two people who host dating podcasts and give dating advice for a living. But like, I think people get so attached to, well, this person said this and like, that's the Bible now. Like, that's the way I have to do it. Like, no, that person and you are completely different people with different experiences. And I think I took so much advice that it wasn't bad advice, but it was advice that had nothing to do with me and made no sense for me to be taking. And that's why I love that, like, you listened to different podcasts and figured out what worked for you. Like, that's what you have to do. You have to take everything with a grain of salt, try things out, and I don't want to say create your own rules, but kind of.
Yeah.
And, but know that your rules can be fluid and they can change. And you can do one thing one day and decide, you know what? Screw that. That doesn't work for me. I'm never doing that again.
Yeah, exactly. I think that that's like the biggest takeaway that I've had for sure.
Yeah. I have a bunch of listener questions that I would love your help with because I love when you answer listener questions. I think you do such a great job. All right. Dun, dun, dun. Okay. This one, I think, and I'm curious your position on the whole concept in general, but somebody asked, how do you move forward once you've gotten the ick?
Ooh, this is a big one. I had Jared Fried on the podcast. We definitely talked about the ick. I have gotten the ick a lot, but I think that it's funny because I honestly do. I believe that like the ick is kind of a sign. Like I think if you're getting it really strong there, it's kind of an indicator to look at other things that might be off or other things that you might not have like actively paid attention to, but are reasons why you might not be interested in this person. I think that I've like personally seen things in somebody that I am dating that I am like really liking that I'm like, I immediately see and I'm like, that would be an ick with anybody else. And I think that it's like important to note that like an ick is fine. Like it could be an ick and you can push past it, but it's just a matter of like how you actually feel about the person. So that's kind of like a wishy-washy answer. But I think that the ick is just something that like you should be able to look past for the right person. I don't think you should get hung up on like the way somebody eats their food or like the way that what they're wearing, some like the type of shoes they're wearing or something like that. Like the way that they speak, I think that those are all things that if you're really getting hung up on those, then this isn't somebody that you're interested in. I don't believe in forcing yourself to be interested in somebody that
you shouldn't have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You absolutely should not have to. Okay. So let's put it out there right now. You can move forward from the ick.
You can, yes.
It's possible.
Yeah.
The ick is not a death sentence.
And you can get the ick, I think, in a relationship,
absolutely,
too. Like, I think that people talk about
it. I have the ick
for myself. Like, yeah, yeah.
There's so much. I'm covered in icks.
Yeah, you can get – it's like people talk about it mostly in, like, early dating, I think. It's like, oh, I went on one date with a guy, and then he, like, ate his – oh, I actually did. I went on a date with somebody once who ate their sushi with like a knife and fork. And I was just like, so it gave me the ick so strong. But I also think you can get the ick from somebody you've been dating for like 6 months. And then you can absolutely get past that. I remember I was in a relationship once. I texted my friend. I was like, have you ever gotten the ick from like XYZ, who her boyfriend was? Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, yeah, all the time. And it's like, you can move past it.
I love Nicole Pellegrino and Caroline Crawford Patterson have a podcast out called Honey, We're Home, and it's about their married life. Like, they're both mm-hmm. like, I think like 28 and 30 or something like that. And they married the guys that they started dating in college. And they have a segment at the end of each episode where they talk about like the icks of the week from their husband.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like, I like that they're normalizing. Like, you can still get grossed out or like icked out
yeah.
or annoyed at something that your partner does, even when you're years into marriage. Like, yeah. it's human. But that doesn't mean divorce.
Yeah, I totally agree. I honestly think In the beginning, it's something to explore. If you're in a relationship with somebody or you already know how you feel about them, try not to get distracted by these little things that give you the ick.
Yeah. I think one other thing that I thought about the ick a lot.
Mm.
And I think one thing that people need to think about when it comes to the ick is like, the ick exists because social media has hyped up the concept of an ick.
Yeah.
Similarly to how everyone was obsessed with red flags and suddenly it was like, red flag, like, bye, can't date them. It's like,
yeah.
an ick is not a reason to end something. An ick does not mean you cannot be with this person. But if you get the ick, just ask yourself, does this actually impact the type of partner they would be or the relationship I could be in with this person?
Yeah.
And if the answer is yes, then okay, there's a fundamental issue there mm-hmm. that doesn't work for you, that you should not move forward. If the answer is no, then it's something you can get past.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I think just use it as an opportunity to explore how you feel about this person, but don't make it the make or break for your relationship with them.
Exactly. Okay, next question. We've been on 3 dates and there's been no kiss. Mm. Should I kiss him first?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think so?
Why not?
Okay, I think so too. I think that, and I've seen this, so this is another interesting thing that's happened since I started solo podcasting, and I'm not saying it has anything to do with that, but just as like my community has grown more on Instagram, you know, you can see your insights.
Mm-hmm.
I have like so many more men now, which is really interesting.
Oh, that is interesting.
I used to be like 90% women and now it's like 60-40, which is so weird. Not weird. I love
it. You know
it.
What? Men, I love, you can follow me. I love that they're learning.
Yes.
We love that.
Yeah. But one of the things that I see a lot of is men who just like don't know what to do. Like they don't know if they can kiss somebody. They don't know how to make a move without feeling like they're pressuring them. They just like kind of freeze in those scenarios, especially on early dates with the first kiss. That can be really difficult. Like, especially if it's like somebody who is new to dating or has only been in relationships and hasn't been like out there that much, whatever it is. I think a guy gets just as nervous as a girl in hetero dating, like whatever the scenario. I think that women tend to think that men don't think about these things as much. And I really do think that they do. So if you're feeling it and you're into it and you feel a connection, like I don't think you should like attack them without feeling any reciprocation from them. But if there have been signs like a small touch of your leg or your arm or whatever it is, if you guys have chemistry, absolutely kiss them. If anything, you can ask them, like, can I kiss you?
I was going to say that too. I was definitely going to say that. And I feel like over the last few years, I've seen a lot more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I was dating before I met Jake, like I was asked that and I appreciated it. It's like a nice thing. And I don't think there's anything wrong with asking that. If anything, then you just have the green light. You know? It's like work up the courage. Like just count to five in your head and be like, count of five, like I'm going to say it. And then just say it.
Yeah. I once went on like 5 or 6 dates with somebody and they still hadn't kissed me. And instead of like handling it that way, I was like, why haven't you kissed me yet? And I kind of just like snapped. And it was like, I viewed it as like so strange. It was like, is something weird going on here? But instead of like working it up in your head, go for it.
Yeah.
Like, go for the kiss or ask them early on if you can kiss them. Like, feel out, like I said, feel out the vibe by like touching them a little bit or whatever it is. Or maybe put yourself in more of like a situation where like they might feel comfortable kissing you. Like, if you're standing outside the subway or if you're like somewhere like really populated, maybe they don't want to like make out in public.
It's awkward with the Uber coming. Like, exactly. It's all awkward. Yeah. It is awkward. Like, you have to sometimes make a moment.
Did you and Jake kiss on the first date?
We did not. And the second date was probably like almost like a 4-hour date. And the whole time went by and we didn't kiss. And he ordered his Uber and I made the move.
You did?
I did.
So like, here we are.
Because you know what? I just knew that if we didn't kiss, I was going to overthink it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I wasn't seeing him for 3 weeks. I was going to Florida. I was like, I got to do this. And we had talked about, I think we had talked earlier that night about our first kisses. And he had told me, I could be botching the story, but I think his was at camp and it was with like one of those, I think he talked me through how it was like, oh, I did one of those moves of like, if you were a pirate, would your parrot be on this shoulder or this shoulder and put my arm around her and kiss whatever. So Jake's leaving and I go, wait, I have a question. And I go, if you were a pirate, would your parrot be on this shoulder or this shoulder?
Oh my God.
And kissed him.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I think that it's like, the worst that happens is they don't kiss you back, which like I really don't think is going to happen if you've been on three good dates with
them. Yeah, those are signs they want to keep getting to know you for
and
sure.
If they don't, then like you want to know that. You don't want to go on date four with them without knowing how they feel.
Yeah. So somebody asked, how do you know if somebody's the one? I'm feeling bored with my relationship after 2.5 years.
Ooh, 2.5 years. I hate the when you know kind of thing.
Same.
But I do believe that if you have a gut feeling that they're not, then that's something you really need to listen to.
Yeah. I think I want to emphasize like this person's key word here is like they feel bored. Mm-hmm. Relationships get boring. Mm-hmm. After 2.5 years, like you're not in the honeymoon phase. If you're not get at the point where you're like moving to that next stage of either moving in together or, you know, getting engaged, getting married, it's like, yeah, you're just living with, you're coexisting with this other person. I would say instead of focusing on like, is this person the one or not, maybe focus on like, can I have more fun in this relationship?
Yeah. Like, what are the times when you have had the most fun with this person or even the most fun just in your own life? And how can you make your life more fun? And where does this person fit in with that? I think is something to really think about. But I also do think that it's like, first of all, I don't think that there's like the one, but I do think that there are some signs you could look for that this relationship is right and signs you can look for that the relationship isn't right, which is like another whole like road we can go down. But I agree that like it seems like from the way they asked the question that they identified the biggest issue, like they're bored. Yeah. And being bored is, like you said, normal in a relationship.
It's so normal. And I think that's a lot when we see like relationships after a year or so end, it's because you're not in the honeymoon phase anymore.
Yeah.
It's real.
Yeah.
And you get to a point, like I definitely got to points with Jake where I'm like, wait, this isn't as fun anymore. But it's like, that's okay. Like, I'm okay just sitting on the couch watching a show or like ordering dinner in and like not having that much to talk about. Like, that's normal. How could I possibly have everything in the world to talk about all the time? Like, sometimes I just want to sit and exist.
Yeah. I also think that's why it's so important to do those things before you get really serious with somebody. Like, I think that I talk a lot about things to do before defining the relationship and everything like that. And I think that just like being together without a plan is one of the biggest ones. Like, sit on the couch together, watch TV, or like I said earlier, like you're reading, they're working, whatever it is. Just like spend time together without some grand plan. Mm-hmm. And that'll show you what that might be like in those phases of the relationship where that is most nights. Because like realistically in most relationships, most nights are going to be like, quote, boring. Like, it's not, you're not going to have this like amazing date every night of the week, and there's going to be times in the relationship where there's not something like super exciting going on. But you still can find ways to like infuse those exciting things and make the relationship more fun. So I think that that's probably like the best thing for this person to do right now.
Definitely. I think focus on can you still have fun versus is this person the one?
Exactly.
Rhymes. Okay. This listener said, would you stop initiating with a friend who hasn't spoken to you in months and hasn't made an effort?
No, I mean, not if you want to. If you feel like you're initiating all the time and they're not making an effort, then yeah, I would stop. But if you are kind of both like just the friendship has kind of hit a lull, I could reach out and ask them to do something together. But I also think friendships fade. So I guess two-part answer, like if you're also not initiating, then initiate. But if you're making all the effort and they're making none, I don't think you necessarily have to have a big conversation with them about it. Just realize that that friendship is in a phase right now where it's not like active. It's just like more of an inactive friendship.
It's on sleep mode.
Exactly. And maybe it will come back and you'll have like another phase of life where you guys are super close, but it's normal. I think that it could be a sign maybe that you guys are in different stages of life or that like things about each of you have changed and maybe you want to meet some friends that are more like in your phase of life right now. It doesn't mean either of you did anything wrong necessarily. It just means that right now that friendship isn't something that's like going to serve you both.
Yeah. And that's okay. And I think to your point, like it sounds like this person hasn't reached out either. Maybe, you know, clearly you're thinking about it. Like clearly it's on her mind if she's asking. So maybe the answer is try reaching out once and seeing, you know, if that gets you guys to reconnect, if that gets you guys in person. And if it does, then see how that goes and go from there. And if it doesn't, then maybe it's time to let it go. And maybe it's let it go for now. Maybe it's let it go for good. But
yeah,
it's okay if it ends.
Yeah, it's okay if it ends, and it's also okay if it just changes. Like,
totally.
Maybe this used to be someone that you spent so much time with in the past, and now it's somebody that you see every couple of months. And if you're okay with that and you still want them in your life, then go with that and let the friendship, like, kind of evolve into what, like, makes sense for today.
Absolutely. I think a big thing that I learned going through my 20s was not all friendships have to stay the same forever. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to have friendships where you just catch up and go to dinner once every few months. And that's what it is. Like, you don't have to make it deeper. You could just be friends who get dinner once a quarter.
All of my friendships are so different. Like, friends who I go on a walk with once a week, and that's really all we do together. Like, we don't have to, like, text all day, but then I have other friends who I am literally in constant communication with. So it just depends on both of your, like, where you're both at.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny. I have another question here that's so similar. I feel like my friend and I are drifting apart. Should I reach out to see if she feels the same?
I wouldn't necessarily, like, I just don't think you need to have that type of conversation. I think the only time you need to have, like, a conversation about a friendship changing or ending is if there's, like, a conflict of some sort, or if there is some type of problem or issue that needs to be talked about that you feel like you need closure on. But if you just feel like you're drifting apart, I think it's kind of similar to what we just said. Like, make the effort if you want to try to see if there's a way to, like, get closer again. But if not, I think just kind of ride the wave.
I agree. Sending a message to somebody or saying that we're drifting apart, like, that's not going to be well received. There's just no world in which that's well received. But I think, the same goes, like, you could try reaching out and seeing if it goes somewhere, and if it doesn't, don't force it.
I've had so many friendships, like, change and evolve.
Me too. And it's okay. That's, like, part of life. Okay. I have a guy who asked where to meet women. There are none at my hobbies, including volunteering, improv, gym, and outdoors.
You can meet them anywhere. I mean, of course, we both say dating apps are great. That's a way. But you can meet people anywhere you are. Like, you can meet somebody at the grocery store. You can meet somebody when you're out for a walk. You can meet someone, of course, like, at a bar, at a restaurant. I think that you'll kind of notice the people who are open to being approached. Like, I think that people have a different vibe when they're, like, welcoming a new person to come up to them. But it's also really easy, if you're not sure, to just, like, go up to them and ask a question, like, just start a conversation. And I think that one of the things that I always tell people to do for this is, like, do this with people even if you're not interested in dating them. Like, talk, spark up a conversation with the cashier at a coffee shop, or with, like, more people at work. Just, like, kind of put the energy and the vibes out there that you're more open to meeting people, and, like, feel what it feels like to start a conversation with somebody that you don't really know that well, because then it will feel more natural.
Absolutely. It's practice. It's something that we're so conditioned to not do because of our phones and dating apps and social media. So you actually do have to force yourself to learn how to do it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that also, and it depends, I don't know if this was, like, a man or a woman or who was asking this question, but, like, I think it could be helpful if you're just going out with, like, one or two people maybe to a bar, and not in, like, this huge, like, intimidating group could be helpful. And then also, like, just being more, like, aware, like you said, like, taking yourself out of your phone, like, or maybe taking your headphones out when you're walking down the street. Like, I used to have, for some reason, I always say grocery store. I used to have this, like, feeling I was going to meet, like, my future husband at a grocery store or something. Like, you can just be walking by someone and be like, oh, where did you find that? Point at something in their car. Like, you can just say anything, like, oh, I, like, someone has a book in their hand on the subway. Like, what are you reading? Just ask them something about
what
they're
doing. That's how my friend's parents met.
Really?
On the subway.
Wait, that's
one
so
cute. One asked the other
cute.
About the book.
Yeah, so if you're, like, somebody listening that wants to be approached, read a book. I used to, like, read a book in public.
Read
and
a book on
would,
a park bench.
Yeah, somebody, I honestly used to do that not as a way to meet people, but if I was just, like, at the park reading a book, like, I would say, like, 50% of the time somebody would come up and say something.
Another one, rent a dog.
Yeah, a dog, for
no,
sure.
Foster a dog and walk around your area with your dog is probably, like, the number one hack to meeting
women. A dog
women.
Is the best way, for sure.
But, yeah, no, I think to your initial point of, like, seeing who else seems open to conversation, make sure that you are being open to conversation. Make sure your body language, like you're not sitting there with your arms crossed. Make sure, you know, if you're sitting at a bar, maybe your chair is like turned to the side towards the room.
Yeah.
Like, there are little body language cues that will show other people that you're open to conversation and to connection. And the more you do that, the more everyone else listening does that, yeah, the better off we'll all be in terms of meeting people in real life.
Yeah. And I think that, I mean, it sounds really old school, but like if you're at a restaurant, you see somebody eating with their friends, like send them a drink or just like
do something. That.
Yeah, I think that that's like nobody's going to be mad at you for like thinking they're attractive or being interested in talking to them. Like if you get a bad reaction, that's like the not the right person for you. But the worst that happens is they have a boyfriend or they have a girlfriend or whatever it is. I think just shoot your shot and it gets more, it gets less intimidating the more you do it.
I love that. Also, summer is coming.
Yes,
like people are going to be doing so many activities. Like you could sign up for a pickleball league or a softball league. And not only will you meet the people on your team and maybe there will be somebody there or maybe they have friends, but you'll also play other teams. And all of these teams, they like go out for drinks after and it just becomes a whole community. Like run clubs. The dog park is my favorite place.
Yeah.
But like just go out and get out of your comfort zone and do activities and join groups and clubs and like create your own community and you really never know. I mean, I think another thing is making sure the people in your life know that you're open to setups. I have a friend whose sister-in-law was in a like multiple states away and was in a box at a basketball game.
Yeah.
And there was a guy who she thought like was cute in the box and she said like, hey, like, do you happen to be like from X place and like X age and single? And he's like, oh, I actually like just started dating somebody, but I have a friend who lives in New York who's like around that age who's single and he's like the best guy I know.
Yeah.
And she's dating him now.
Oh my God.
So like you literally never know where your next potential partner could come from. So just make sure the people in your life know like, hey, I really do want to meet somebody. Like I am open to going out with anyone you have in mind, like, but keep me in mind.
Yeah, I agree with that. If people are bugging you, like, why are you single? I got that question sometimes.
Why haven't you set me up yet?
Yeah. Like, oh, I don't know. Do you know anybody?
Yeah.
Ask them. Like, I think setups are the best way to meet somebody.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've already asked you what the best piece of dating or relationship advice you have to give is on the last episode that you were on. So instead, I'm going to ask, now you've been doing the podcast for years. You are in a relationship for over a year now. From your experiences, like what's the best thing that you could pass on to somebody else or like what you wish you knew when you were single based on the relationship that you're in now? Just like any piece of wisdom you can pass on to the seeing other people family.
I think what I wish I knew when I was single, well, one of the things that stands out that's like on theme with what we've talked about is like I wish that I just like in some parts of it just like enjoyed it more and knew that when I like that the right timing for me isn't like what's right for other people. So I think that it's reminding yourself that like every relationship that you have that doesn't work out or every breakup that you're going through or every person you're like crushing on that doesn't like you back, like those are all not working out like for a reason. And I like firmly believe that even if my current relationship didn't work out, I would believe that it was for a reason. Like I really, really do think that. And I think that you are only going to know that once you're in a situation that feels like stable and secure and you're like, wow, this is why everything else didn't work out. So I think that that's like a really good reminder for when you're dating and when, like we said before, I don't remember if it was on my podcast or yours, but we were talking about how like when you're so wrapped up in whether someone likes you or not, that you don't even know if you like them too. Like I think that that's something that like can get so overwhelming if you're getting like turned down by people who you're reaching out to on a dating app or who you go out on one date with and you get ghosted. Like just know that those things are happening because there's something else that's better for you. And that could apply to like ending anything. A relationship too.
Or losing a job.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything.
Yeah, 100%.
It's so true. Like I think so many of us, I think if you ask anyone what like regrets they have or what they wish went differently, everyone is pretty much like happy with where they're at now, even if they're not where they want to be. Everything that happens leads us to who we become and to where we go. And I think so many of us just feel so content and like trusting that we're going in the right direction.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing is that like I was so when I met my boyfriend, I was not even living in the city. I was like back home for a year out of the city, but I still had my Hinge set to like my last apartment in the city. And so we matched because it was set to his area, but he only had his Hinge show 1 mile radius. So it was like literally as if it should be just like only his area and that's it. And the funny thing is that like it was my old area. So I was in that 1 mile radius. So like we were living so close to each other and I never met him when I was living there. Mm-hmm. And I think about that a lot because it's like, I really honestly don't think that if I had met him at any other point, it would have worked out. And so like, that's just like, that shows that these things are all happening for a reason because like the person I am today, the person he is today, like the person you are today and Jake is like, that's because of the things that have happened to you and the choices that you've made. And that's why you fit so well together.
Yeah. Me and Jake, I lived on the northwest corner of 28th and 2nd. He lived on the southeast corner of 28th and 2nd for two years at the same time. And we didn't know each other. Wow. And thank God we didn't because it wouldn't have worked.
Because it wouldn't have worked. Yeah, I totally, totally agree with that for sure.
I love that. Yeah. Oh, well, thank you so much for coming. This has been so fun. Where can everybody find you? Where can everybody find the podcast?
Okay, so first of all, thank you for having me. This is so fun. You can listen to Mostly Balanced on all podcast platforms, so Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find us there. And then you can follow me on Instagram at Mostly Balanced Podcast. And I also just launched a newsletter called Mostly Dating, and you can sign up for that in my bio on Instagram.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening, daters. I hope today's episode made you feel just a little bit less alone out there, no matter what your status might be. Give your finger a break from swiping and hit that follow and review button instead. And if you have any burning questions or want to share your own dating horror stories, reach out to seeingotherpeoplepodcast@gmail.com. And in the meantime, keep on seeing other people.
Mads, I am obsessed with our brand pillars.
You mean vagina sweat, good branding, and being Jewish blooded queens, Scout?
Sure, but not quite. I love that OKSIS podcast and our sisterhood is made up of women who are down for main character energy only, who take care of their mental health, and who are standing in their personal power as entrepreneurs.
Oh yeah, that too, Scout, that too. We should probably introduce ourselves. Hello everyone, I am Mads.
And I am Scout.
And we are sisters IRL.
Join us on OKSIS Podcast every Monday for some sisterly banter, nourishing mental health, a whole lot of silliness, and inspiring interviews from the raddest female guests in the game.
We promise it'll be a good time.
As long as you don't get too loud, Mads.
Welcome to the sisterhood!